Some of you also need to make note that next Sunday we turn our clocks back. Okay, so if you don't do that, you'll get here bright and early. And won't anything be going on? I could preach to you. I'll be here. But make certain you turn your clocks back. We get an hour of sleep, so there's no griping and complaining this time. We get to sleep an hour extra, so turn those clocks backwards. We're glad that you're here. We do have a large number of our normal members who are gone on a trip to Greece and other places, and they're having a ball. I know that. And folks, if you've never made a trip like that, and if you ever get an opportunity, do that, because you will never read your Bible the same after you visited those lands and seen some of those things. Those pictures will just come to your mind constantly. David Letterman has popularized what is known as the top 10 list, hasn't he? Every night on his show, there's the top 10 list. I went back and I looked up one of those lists and I found this title, Top 10 Commercial Casket Models. And here they are. Number 10, the Dirt Master. Number 9, the Tupper Tomb. Number 8, the Crazy Casket from Wham-O. Number 7, the Slim Reaper. Number 6, the 19th Hole. Number 5, Matt Coffin, Styrofoam Casket. Number 4, the Comfort King Velvet Liner. Number 3, Captain Crip. Number 2, the Cardboard Warrior. And number 1, the Lazy Boy Eterna Lounger. Sometimes you hear what he has to say and you laugh, and sometimes you hear what he has to say on those top 10, and folks, you just cringe, don't you? This morning, we're going to be talking about a top 10 list. But this list about which we are speaking is much more sobering than David Letterman's top 10 list. Our list is entitled as follows: the top 10 list of qualities of a soul winner. Quality number 1. If you and I are going to be good soul winners, we must possess the quality of love. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Folks, you and I are going to be leaving our homes, we're going to be entering into the world, and we're going to be striving to teach individuals the gospel of Christ. We're going to be opening our mouths, are we not? And we're going to be speaking very precious, vital things to those individuals. But if I do not possess love, I am a sounding brass. I am a tinkling cymbal. My words can mean absolutely nothing to those individuals. And folks, those people know whether or not you and I truly love them, don't they? But our love has to go deeper than just for that lost soul. First and foremost, you and I have a deep love for the Almighty God. Secondly, you and I have a love for the truth of the gospel of Christ. This is the thing that sets man free, John 8, verse 32. And unless individuals hear this, they will never be saved. And then thirdly, I love that individual that I am talking to. And folks, that can be a difficult thing, can it not? Sometimes we come in contact with individuals who are a lot like us, similar in personality, similar in economic status, and then there are those individuals who are somewhat difficult to love and to care for. And yet the top priority of a soul winner will be love for other individuals. Quality number 2. A good soul winner is going to be an individual who has compassion on other people. The word compassion is really a compound word. C-O-M, com, means with. And that little word passion means to suffer. When you put those two words together, you have this definition: to suffer with. A person who is a compassionate individual suffers with another person. You and I see these individuals who are in the world, and folks, they are lost. To them, that means almost nothing many times. But to us, we understand what that means, do we not? Here are individuals who are serving Satan. Here are individuals who are in sin and transgression of the will of God. Here are individuals who are estranged from God. Here are individuals who have no hope beyond this world. And that ought to tug at our heartstrings. And we ought to have compassion on those individuals. The Apostle Paul entered into the city of Athens all by his lonesome. All by himself. And the city of Athens was a massive city at that time. And the biblical text says this, and while he waited for them, that is his companions in Athens, listen to this, his spirit was stirred within him, for he saw the whole city wholly given to idolatry. The Apostle Paul walked through the streets of Athens, and there were idols at every turn. Idols that had been made to everything imaginable under heaven. And as Paul continued to see each one of those idols, the Bible says that his spirit was stirred within him. Here are individuals seeking after a God, seeking after something to serve, and yet they are serving man-made idols. They are serving images made of wood and silver and gold. They are individuals who are striving to do right, but yet these individuals are bowing down and prostrating themselves to things that are lifeless and have absolutely no value to their spiritual lives. It's not surprising then that Paul mounts Mars Hill, is it? And cries out, ye men of Athens, I see that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Him therefore declare I unto you. Here was a man whose spirit was stirred. A man of great compassion for these individuals. And if these individuals need to hear anything, they need to hear about the unknown God, that God that they are trying to worship, but ignorantly so. And folks, he does a masterful lesson, does he not, about the true and living God in the city of Athens. When we leave this building and we look into the eyes of these individuals with whom we come in contact, folks, our hearts ought to yearn for those individuals. That is a lost soul. That is a person who is deceived. And that is a person who, if they die, they will wind up in a devil's hell. It is compassion that moves me. It is compassion that ignites me. It is compassion that stirs me from mere intention to action on behalf of other individuals. I care about you and I love you and I want to help. Quality number three. A good soul winner is going to be a person of prayer before God. We talked about this in a previous lesson, did we not? The Apostle Paul was a converted Jew and he loved his Jewish brethren. And Paul says that I pray for these individuals and I pray for their salvation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10:1. Is prayer a powerful force? My friends, we are talking about being able to tap into the very resources of heaven itself. We are talking about whispering into the ear of an almighty, all-powerful God and igniting those energies on our behalf. Prayer. Before we leave our homes, we need to get down on our knees and pray to God, don't we? Are there things God can bless us with as soul winners? Absolutely. What about wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, James says in James chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Can you and I pray to God that He will open up doors of opportunity on our behalf? Absolutely. Can we get down on our knees and ask God to remove the obstacles that might be out there in front of us so that you and I can effectively preach and teach the gospel without hindrance unto other individuals? Absolutely. A good soul winner will pray before he goes out into the field. Number four, if you and I are going to be good soul winners, then we need to develop within our lives the quality of sacrifice. I don't know that we've learned the lesson of sacrifice very well. What's it going to involve with regard to me when it comes to sacrifice as a soul winner? Folks, a sacrifice is something that costs you something. So what's it going to cost me to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to other individuals? There's only really one huge element that you have to give. And you want to know what that is? Time. That's it. T-I-M-E. You see, if I'm going to study with an individual, it's probably going to take about 2 hours of my time every week. I've got to get to the study, I've got to conduct the study, and I've got to get back home. About 2 hours or so. Could be 2.5, maybe 3. And what if you're conducting 2 studies a week? Now we're up to 4 to 6 hours a week of my precious, valuable time. And I know members of the church who tell me very quickly, I don't give up my time for nobody or nothing. Really? Not even for God? Not even for lost souls? Really? Have you not heard what Jesus said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Somewhere in our Christian living, there's got to be some self-denial, folks. I've got to put self in the background. And when it comes to studying the gospel with other people, there's got to be some self-denial. I am willing to give up some of my time on behalf of another individual. Sacrifice. The fifth quality that we need to possess as good soul winners is what I refer to as knowledge. Knowledge. I heard this statement just last week in a lecture there at Memphis, and a man says this, "You can't teach what you don't know." And that's true, isn't it? It's an impossibility. Oh, you may try. Wouldn't you like to see me try to give somebody flying lessons? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Here'd be my first instruction. Jump in. And you want to know what the second action would be, whether it came from me or not? Jump out. Because he ain't doing nothing. I get, because I don't know anything about flying. You cannot teach what you do not know, folks. Peter says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in what? Grow in knowledge. There's at least 3 areas of knowledge that a good soul winner needs to possess. Number one, a good knowledge of the truth of God's Word. Secondly, a good knowledge of those false doctrines that are out there in the world. What if you knock on a door and an individual comes to the door and you start talking to him and he tells you, "Well, I am a Jehovah's Witness. Won't you come in and study with me?" And you know nothing about Jehovah's Witnesses. Folks, you up a creek without a paddle. You know that? He's going to bring things to your mind and to your attention. He's going to turn in the Bible and read things to you, and you're going to be just as lost as a goose. That's the truth. And you'll have no answers. And you'll have to tell him, let me go talk to my preacher. And you'll leave that day just as defeated as you could possibly be. Folks, we got to know a little bit about the enemy, don't we? We got to know a little bit about those false doctrines that are out there. And then thirdly, I need to know some type of method to teach from, don't I? And there's a ton of methods that are out there. Many individuals still use the Jewel Miller, used to be called film strips. The Jewel Miller CDs or DVDs now, aren't they? We've moved up in technology. There's the open Bible study method. There's about 5 or 6 different methods that are out there. But you need some kind of an organized way to go to individuals and teach them the truth of the gospel. Folks, you don't want to be there for the next 10 years trying to teach them 5, 6, 7, 8 lessons. You ought to be able to teach an individual the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you need an organized method to do that. A good soul winner is going to have some kind of knowledge before he goes out into the field. Point number 6. If you're going to be an effective soul winner, you need to have circumspection. Boy, there's a big word, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." There's 2 or 3 definitions to that word circumspectly. One of them is this: accurately, precisely. But another definition is this: see that you walk with your eyes open to everything that is around you. It's the very word from which we get the term circumference. If I'm walking circumspectly, I look to my right hand, I look to my left hand, I look behind me, I'm looking at everything that's going on, and I'm making certain that I'm walking precisely the way God wants me to. But as a soul winner, as I walk circumspectly, and I'm looking around, what am I looking for? Folks, I am looking for opportunities to study the Bible with someone. I've always been amazed at church members. Well, I just can't get a Bible study. You want to know one of the best ways to get a Bible study? Watch who's here on Sunday mornings. A good soul winner would say something like this: I want every visitor's card turned in to me by Monday morning so I know who visited this service yesterday. Because folks, guess what? There are a lot of wonderful opportunities, aren't there, in those visitors who come to our services? Sometimes individuals just from the community stop in. And they live within just a few miles of this. They've never been here before. They've come to see what we do. Maybe somebody invited them. Maybe they've been in the community a while. They've known the church is here. They made themselves a promise: one of these days I'm going. And guess what? This Sunday happens to be that day. And tomorrow we get over there and we knock that door. Hello? I'm from the Oceanside Church of Christ. Saw that you visited yesterday. Love to come in and talk to you just a little bit. And in the course of that visitation, you ask them, have you ever studied the Bible? I would love to do that with you. Well, you know, I've been interested in thinking about that for some time now. Folks, there's a door of opportunity, is it not? It's one of the best places. Look around, find visitors, introduce yourself to them, find out where they live, go visit them, folks. But don't wait 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months to go visit them. Well, I saw you visited back here in 2007. We thought we'd come. That's not going to get it. You know, they've already gone, aren't they? We got to get on those individuals quickly. There's friends. There's family. There's work associates. There's individuals that we involve ourselves with recreationally that we can study with, aren't there? And we look for those doors of opportunity to study with those individuals. There's individuals who are out there in our community that we come in casual contact with. Give them one of our little calendars and invite them to the worship service. Give them a track. Ask those individuals, to come to the service, and you'll pick them up and get them and take them home. Folks, there's a lot of ways. But we've got to work circumspectly, don't we? We've got to be looking for doors of opportunity. What's interesting is, once you find those doors swinging open, guess what? You just keep seeing them. That's the interesting thing. You almost can't keep them from shutting, from opening. You get so worn out. Wow, here's another one. Here's another one. You're just beat to death. But folks, we've got to get the doors open first, don't we? Circumspectly. Next quality. If I am going to be a good soul winner, I need to practice urgency. Urgency. Urgency is defined as follows: taking immediate action. That's urgency. The world is lost. People are dying. And those people are going to die and go to hell. Folks, that's urgent, is it not? On one occasion, the Apostle Paul saw a vision. We just sang about it in one of our songs, Send the Light. I've heard the Macedonian call today. That's the second stanza of that song. Paul saw what is called the Macedonian vision. The text reads like this: And Paul saw a vision in the night. There was a man of Macedonia that stood and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. Acts 16, verse 9. Now there's the call. There's the cry. There's lost souls over here. We need some help. Look at the very next verse. That's what's interesting. And immediately we endeavored to go over into Macedonia to help them. When? And immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia and help them. Well, we need to go to Walmart today. So we'll just wait around and maybe tomorrow we'll get there. No, folks. There was an urgency. Paul's seen a vision. There are people out there who need help. And when are we going to go help them? Immediately we're going to go help them. Not one of us in this audience will ever receive a vision from God saying, Hey, why don't you get down there to the beaches and save them people? But guess what? I don't need a vision, do I? You want to know why? I've got a command, don't I? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've already got a command, folks. And isn't that command just as urgent as that vision that Paul saw in the long ago? Absolutely it is. We just need to develop the urgency about the matter. When do we need to do this? Immediately, like Paul and his company did. Quality number 8. If you and I are going to be effective soul winners, we must possess the quality of patience. Patience. The word patience means this: the ability to endure. Paul, when writing to Timothy, said, But the servant of the Lord must be gentle, apt to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Patient. Is it going to take some time for us to get Bible studies? Oh, yeah. Going to take some time, isn't it? You think you go walking down here, knocking doors, trying to get somebody to study with you, you're going to get the first three that you knock doors on? If you do, you're going to be one fortunate scoundrel, aren't you? And that's all there is to it. Folks, it's going to take a long time sometime to get that first study, isn't it? Got to be patient. You know, I can develop the attitude, nobody wants this. Nobody cares. Nobody's concerned. Nobody really wants to learn the Bible. And I'll just stop. No, be patient. And eventually you'll find one, won't you? Once I get into that study, guess what? I may have to be patient with the individual I'm studying with. Might not. You see, we get it, don't we? We've learned the truth. The light bulb's been on for a long time. Not with this person. This individual has had his light bulb dimmed by the false teachings of man and of Satan. And sometimes it is extremely difficult to get through to that individual and get them to see the truth. But just be patient, right? Just endure with that individual for a long time. Sometimes we may have to be patient in persecution, mightn't we? Folks, there's not everybody out there who is receptive to truth. There's not everybody out there who loves truth. These people are in darkness, and darkness despises the light. And those individuals will persecute us. They will rebuke us. They will reproach us. They will mock us. And guess what I have to do? Be patient. Just endure through the affliction. Quality number 9. A good soul winner is somebody who is tireless in his efforts. Go out there and set up 2 Bible studies and carry those Bible studies out to the end, from start to finish. Set up 2. You can set them up at the same time or back to back. Just set them up. The first one takes you about 6 or 8 weeks. The second one takes you about 6 or 8 weeks. Or maybe you've got 2 going on at the same time. And I'm involved in 4 hours of Bible study every Thursday night for the next 8 to 10 weeks. And you finally finish. And one of those individuals is baptized into Christ. And now your schedule's free, isn't it? And you just say what? Ooh. Whew. I'm glad I got my Thursday night back. I'm just tired. It's just go, go, go. Tuesday night, something with the kids. Wednesday night, church. Thursday night, been Bible study. I'm just tired. And so what do? We just stop, don't we? And folks, we may go months. We may go years until finally we set up another one at the urgings maybe of the elders or the preacher or something. Don't quit. Don't get tired. Paul says, and be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6, verse 9. Don't what? Don't stop. Quality number 10. An effective soul winner is going to be a godly individual. Folks, the life of the messenger must reflect the message of the messenger. The two have to be harmonious. Can you imagine studying with a particular individual and all of a sudden that individual finds out that you are just as corrupt and vile and sinful as he is, and in his sight even more so? Here's a person I put on a pedestal. Here's a person that I have honored and respected. And all of a sudden I find out that he's not practicing what he preaches, folks. It can destroy our message, can it? It hurts those individuals. It happened with the Jews, didn't it? Here were the Jews, the chosen people of God, the ones to whom the law had been entrusted, the ones in a covenant relationship with God, and they boasted and they bragged about those things to other individuals. And yet Paul says that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Through you, he says in Romans 2:24. Why? Because their life didn't measure up to their message, folks. That's why. Jesus said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, better were it for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the midst of the sea. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Better for you to die than offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Folks, God wants our example to shine forth to those individuals. We're trying to teach them that Christianity is the best life, the only life, the true life, are we not? And the only way they're going to accept that is if our lives conform to the message. The wise writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 11, verse 28, "He that winneth souls is wise." You want to be a wise person? Get out there and win some souls. But here's what's even more beautiful than that. Not only will you be wise, but you will be like Jesus. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His mission, was it not? Luke 19:10. Be wise. Be like Jesus. Be a soul winner, folks. Won't be long before the elders are going to be making a challenge to us. And all this stuff I've been talking about all this month maybe make a little bit more sense. There's a lot of lost people in our world, aren't they? And what's so wonderful is there's a plan of salvation to save them found in Scripture. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein where? Romans 1:16. Therein the gospel. The plan is simple, isn't it? Hear the words of Jesus. Believe in Him as the Son of the living God. Repent, that is, die to your old sins. Confess His precious name and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. A man arises to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, Romans 6:3-4, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that individual is added by the Lord to His church, Acts 2:47. Are you lost? Do you need that plan in your life? Won't you come today? Maybe you're an erring Christian. You know you've not been faithful. You know you're in sin. My friend, won't you repent of that? Ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.